Welcome, Liesl. So today is really your teaching live. Liesl, over to you, and welcome again.
Ngā mihi nui ki a koutou I tēnei pō. Really nice to be here. Thank you, Joyce, for inviting me. And I've kept my Māori mihi to a minimum because there is quite a lot of material here. So I propose to plunge into it. But the title, you probably know, Another Brick in the Wall, comes from Pink Floyd. For those of you who don't remember Pink Floyd, it's that wonderful song, We Can Get No Education, with rocketing Jimi Hendrix guitars in the background. So that's where I got the title from. I hope my title, this is a game of two halves. I've got a PowerPoint, but I'm going to talk first and then do the PowerPoint. I have timed this, so if you think it's going to go for an hour, I promise it isn't. It's shorter than an hour, just. Right, okay, so I hope my title for this talk was not too obtuse. It is, of course, from Pink Floyd, We Can't Get No Education. When you are young, it is easy through energy and hubris, good Greek word, pride in oneself, hubris, to think that you are a great educator. But as education is a lifelong process, in reality, most of us are just another slot in the timetable, or indeed another brick in the wall. I do want to say that the glib Irishman, George Bernard Shaw, however, got it very wrong. Those who can do and those who can't teach was his famous quote. This is far from accurate. I much prefer Thomas More's advice to Richard Rich in the wonderful play A Man for All Seasons by Robert Bolt. Richard Rich is his servant. He's upwardly mobile, ambitious, and capricious. He said to him that he could do a lot worse than to become a teacher. It is an honest, straightforward, and immensely satisfying job. And Sir Thomas More knew that. You don't acquire much wealth or great wealth, but with any luck, you do acquire some wisdom and immense satisfaction. I started my teaching career while at university. After only 1 year away from Hastings Girls High School, Jean Kelp, the headmistress in 1969, allowed me to go back to teach their UWE accredited classes. I'm very grateful to Ms. Kelp. And the nice thing about tonight is actually the ability to be able to acknowledge some of these people who were powerful influences in my life and who I am really grateful to. My other job that also began when I was still at Victoria doing a BA in English and History was a music teaching part-time position at Matauranga, which was a small private school with some rather radical ideas on education. It had been started by Marie Bell, who in her 80s was later to complete a PhD in education. The 1970s were the era of A.S. Neil, Pablo Freire, Marshall McLuhan, Ivan Illich, radical thinkers with radical ideas. A group of place center parents who were deeply opposed to corporal punishment in schools had got together and formed Matauranga. They were an interesting group of people. The parents were downstage actors, people who had been educated themselves in the Montessori schools of past war Europe. Artists and even a Reserve Bank economist children were at the school. It was heady stuff and I loved it. There was no classroom in the formal sense, there was no teacher territory and pupil territory, no uniform and a parent helper system. The idea, of course, had been borrowed from the play centre movement. Parents were encouraged to come to school, unlike A.S. Neil's school, Summer Hill, which was a boarding school, as the radical English educator believed that parents often retarded their children's growth. These were very, very heady days, the 70s. Parents came in and contributed to French, nature, study, crafts and cooking. It was a very colourful school, which in those days was in a prefab amidst mud at the back of Karori Normal School in Karori. Later the school moved to the old Holy Family School in the Aro Valley. Matauranga was often in the news and there were several listener articles written on it. Marie Bell was a very courageous educator who dared to be different. She was also a personal friend of Dame Marie Clay, the famous reading person. who was also, I tell you now, a old girl of Wellington East Girls College that I'll be mentioning in my talk. She embraced Te Matauranga o Te Ao Māori before many other schools. The school had a council meeting every week where children openly chatted about what had been good and not so good for them in the preceding week. When I began at the school in 1970, the school had already been going for about 8 years. Māori Bell retired in 1971. I'm very pleased that I had this opportunity, as it forced me to look beyond the traditional schooling which I had had and to question pedagogy and the cultural mores of schools. Māori had studied at the Education Institute of London University and had been the sole charge of a small school up the Whanganui River. Her first husband, who was killed in the Second World War, was a Metakingi from the Whanganui area, and her commitment to Māori tanga and kapa haka were very sincere. You can picture me, I am 20, permanently in blue jeans and a Siemens jersey, anti-apartheid, anti the Vietnam War, anti Keith Holyoke passionately, fond of Tim Shadbolt, and reading Simone de Beauvoir. How did I survive? Ah, the 70s. It was a memorable but often rocky era. I graduated with a very ordinary BA, but it was a double major with four useful teaching subjects. I was dying to earn real money, so I did not stay for an honours year, but decamped to Christchurch Teachers College in 1972. I think I was fortunate, as I was in Stan Newman and Barry Brailsford's history group, and they were both excellent teachers. We also went on an archaeological dig on the Kaikoura Peninsula at the end of the year. My teaching sections were very varied. I had a big urban school, Freiburg High School in Palmerston North, Waikohu College, Te Karaka, out of Gisborne, and 70% Māori and Southland Girls High School. I loved the teaching I did and taught all of my degree subjects, English, History, Geography, and Music. At the end of the year, there was the toing and froing. It's really funny how appointments were done in those days. They were done by telegram. Now there's a word for you, you'd say telegram today, and the kids today would just go, what? I just say to them they were our text messages. So the telegrams went to and fro in the season of job applications, which was October. I was offered a job by nice Rosemary James at Napier Girls, and I turned it down as it was too much like the school I had attended. I don't mean that in a disparaging way either. I just mean I was determined to do something different. I also turned down Kurunui in Greytown, which I deemed to be conservative, and opted for Makaurau College in Masterton, which was doing some really interesting and experimental things. It was run by a very interesting principal called Noel Scott. The school was non-streamed and had a very well-run experience unit for students with special learning needs. The seniors were allowed to wear mufti, and the classrooms were not, as Adams put it, emotional deserts. This was the college that made headlines by having a student representative on the Board of Trustees, a radical notion in that era. I am very grateful to Makaurau, as it gave me a very useful apprenticeship. I believe it was very formative for many teachers, as many went on to stay in education and some to become educational leaders. Dennis Pyatt at Papanui High School, John Riley at Hawera High School, Jill Davidson at Hastings Girls High School, and Mike Hollings, who's still at Te Kura in Wellington, the correspondence school. He is still their chief executive officer, to name but a few. It was a school that encouraged new ways of approaching subjects, and during my time there, I took a fourth form social studies trip, I laugh about this now, round the east coast, Tairawhiti. We stayed away 5 nights on 5 different marais, and as Mike Hollings says to me quite often, he says, "Do you know, Lisa, only you could have done that. You knew 3 words of Maori and 2 songs. And away you went." And it's true. So that lovely quote from Oscar Wilde, "I'm not young enough to know everything." I always think of that, and I think, yes, you do think you're bulletproof and you know absolutely everything. There was much to value at Makaurau, including Year 9 outdoor education in the Akatarawas, a program called Panorama, where students could choose an elective option After Makota, I spent a year and a half travelling in Europe and the Middle East. I returned to an LTR, long-term relieving position, at Central Hawke's Bay College. Central Hawke's Bay was larger than Makota. Makota had about 650 students. Central had over 800 students and even got as large as 900 at one stage, many of whom travelled to school on the bus. I boarded in the nursing home, now demolished, I didn't cause it. And it was a more conservative school than Makota, and when I trialled group work with an English class, chaos reigned. No previous experience of group work, and Mrs. Foster, who's here tonight, will remember Wynne Primer. I had inherited the class from Mr. Primer, who was a very good teacher, but was very much straight up and down, straight lines, desks and straight lines, so he didn't have any time for group work, and the class looked at me as I was completely batty, which I probably was, to even think that they'd cope with group work. I helped with the Māori Club, which was taken by a wonderful parent called Trubi Mihaere. He had been a Baptist minister in the Bay of Plenty and had come home to Central to be a shepherd of a different kind. My connection with Puke Kaiho, the school's cultural group, was very real and immediate. As at Makota, I felt I had missed a whole world that my schooling had never connected me with. We took the 50 students to a little park called Ōtuko on the shores of Lake Rotuaira. It will always be a highlight for me of that first year at Central. I was offered a job at the end of the year, but I chose Hillcrest High School only because it had fifth form social studies, a new and internally assessed subject. Hillcrest is a large urban school in the university suburb of Hamilton. I had a very bright fifth form English class who produced some outstanding work, some of which, you wouldn't believe this, is in my shed at Te Awanga. I kept it. There were 1,200 students at the school, and it was in the old S68 design buildings, which were awful. Somebody had a bright architectural idea which didn't work. They were noisy, cold, and leaky, and this is leaky before the Hardy's cladding saga. At the end of the year, I was very flattered to be offered a relieving HOD English position at Central Hawke's Bay College. Mr. Foster and his assistant principal, Kath Caskey, both rang me, and of course I was easily lured back to the Bay. I moved into a schoolhouse, a lovely little house, it was yellow, I was very fond of it, for $12.50 a week. It allowed me to save some money and buy my first home when I moved to Wellington later. It was a very sad re-entry to Central though, as Kath Caskey died on Waitangi Day 1979, before the school year had even really got underway. Te Rangi Kauia, Tiffany Leach, as she was then, took over as assistant principal. She was later, as Mrs. Tiffany Stevenson, to be principal of Turukina Māori Girls College in Martin. I am grateful to her and her family for the insights they gave me into te ao Māori. While I had been at Hillcrest, I went to a night class run by a wonderful Ngāpuhi woman called Maria Copeland. I was keen to keep my te reo alive, and again I helped with Puke Kaiho. Some of my students from Central are in contact with me on Facebook. They were warm, generous, and great fun rural kids. Schools are funny places, and the politics of them can be very vexing when you are young and eager to change things. I respected my principal, Mr. Foster, but we did have some notable discussions. Mrs. Foster and I have been talking about this on the phone just recently. One was about the weighting of term work for UE accrediting, and now you look back at it and you're saying, why don't you just go take a chill pill, Lisa, give it away. You know, go home and have a brandy, doesn't really matter. Makota had a 60-40 arrangement, 60 on term work and 40 on the exams, and I thought Central's 85-15 was very conservative. I laugh now when I think of my youth and passion. I remember my time in Waipukarau with real affection. There were memorable croquet parties where the hoops were barely visible owing to alcohol consumption. I went duck shooting, riding and kept chooks. I had four in my backyard. I had five rows of potatoes and borrowed a handgun from Lynn Cross, who lived over the road, to deal with a wild tomcat who had killed my cat's kittens. My success, yes, I got him, and I got him in a running shot. It became an Albert Crescent legend. I will just pause there to tell you, Bob Herrick, who lived next door to me, came home and went in and said to Colleen, his wife, "I think I've just seen Wonder Woman." Because I was running with the handgun. In 1982, I was awarded a scholarship to attend Victoria University and do a TESOL Diploma of Teaching English as a Second Language. The best part of this was being able to return to a formal study of Te Reo Māori. I was required to do Māori 101 and I did Māori 102 as well. Hurini Mokul Mead and Sir Joe Williams, who has currently been knighted and has recently been appointed as a High Court judge, were my tutors. Very fortunate girl I was. Professor Mead from Ngāti Awa in Whakatāne and Joe from Ngāti Maru in Thames. I had teaching sections at Rongotai College and enjoyed being back at Victoria with some money, which I didn't have the first time round, as I was on full salary for the year. At the end of 1982, I was back to Central, and I was very sad to learn that Mr. Foster was retiring. I spent two more terms at Central Hawke's Bay, and in August I was appointed as HOD English at Wellington East Girls College. It was a strange experience moving to a school where there were strong political opinions, passionate feminists, and 29 different ethnic groups. It was also somewhat unnerving that the principal, Janice Campbell, had also been HOD English, and trust me, she watched everything I did carefully. It was a very busy 4 years. In 1987, I returned to Hawke's Bay as assistant principal of Hastings Girls High School. It was now a very different school to the one I had attended. I had attended 1964 to 1968. In my day, the school was screened, and there were very few Pacifica students, and about 18 to 20% Māori students. In 1987, the school was 50-50, 50% Pākehā and 50% Māori. It was also the year of Whakatū's closure. Unemployment was 20%. The following year was the economic crash. I was shocked by the level of domestic violence and the difficulties faced by my students every day. It was a miracle that some of the students even got to school. Hawke's Bay had a cheerful truancy officer called Bruce Chair. He was supposed to cover from Wairoa to Dannebrog. In reality, he spent a lot of time in our parks around Hastings, and I did feel very sorry for him. And later, when in 1991 I got a Commonwealth Fellowship to the Institute of Education at London University and visited schools in London, I suddenly realised how important it is. You can't make changes in kids' lives if they don't get to school. They have to attend on a regular basis. We've done stupid things in this country. The old issue of attendance, it's horny chariots across 4 decades and possibly 5 decades, and it's still there. And with COVID, with the lockdown, I know this from personal experience because, believe it or not, I'm still doing some teaching. The attendance rates have slipped dreadfully, and that includes our area. We definitely need more help. In the 1980s, there were negative attitudes to school, but there still are. And those negative attitudes, of course, become cyclical because those people went on to have children, and those negative attitudes have been passed on. I have always seen the link between education and social mobility. I pay no heed to the Conservatives' cry of social engineering. That's all it is, it's social engineering. I'm alarmed by the polarities of our society in New Zealand. The gap between rich and poor widens. Home ownership is out of reach for about 50% of the population now. COVID-19 has not helped our truancy rates, and we now lag behind the OECD countries in literacy, science, and maths. Much is made of our curriculum, but to me it's a vast amorphous sponge with few specifics to teachers, and I'm talking about primary schools now. There are nice buzzwords like self-management. Gosh, I'm a scathing old cow. And these buzzwords have crept into the key competencies. All of them involve affective judgments. None of them can be tested. It's all up to what the teacher thinks you like at self-management. And few can be data-driven. More of this at the end of my little talk. To resume my career survey, I completed a Master's in Linguistics and Education at London University, where I had two amazing tutors, Jagdish Gandhara and Crispin Jones, one of them from the Punjab, a secular Sikh, and Crispin from Wales. My thesis was on the maintenance of minority language, and it was a comparison of Māori, Welsh, Irish and Gaelic. I visited 24 schools from Eton and Cheltenham Ladies College to comprehensives in the middle of Glasgow and London. I visited schools who taught only in Welsh, Irish or Gaelic. It left me convinced that our pathway to Māori medium education is the right one, and I was immensely proud to be part of a bilingual class at Hastings Girls High School that had started in 1990. I'm very grateful to Jill Davidson for encouraging and supporting this class, and also for the opportunity to move into art history and classical studies. I had an art history night class as well, which started in 1989. Some of them are here this evening. We started with 12 people. I called them the 12 apostles. We had to get 12, otherwise Barbara Mitchell would have had to fold the class. So we got out 12, and when I left to go to Sacred Heart at the end of 1999, I had 48 in the class. I was very proud of that. And we completed a trip to Italy, as you'll see in the PowerPoint presentation, in 1996. When I left Hastings Girls High School, I had taught 9 different subjects, including, makes me laugh now, French, German, and horticulture. It was with some trepidation that I accepted a principalship in a church school. A lot of thought went into that. I thought, I'm far too old to change my ways and pretend I'm holy. But never mind, don't ever quote me on that. I had friends in my art history night class who would refer to me. One of them is now deceased, Louise Ross. God bless you, Louise. You used to say to me, how are you, Mother Superior? Scathing old Louise. Love Louise. I promised my trust board chair I would give it at least 5 years. His name was Brian McKee. He was a really lovely man, and I stayed for 14. Sacred Heart College has 825 students. 30% were Māori and Pacifica, and there are at least another 20 ethnic groups. Very interesting school. I retired in 2014, but I've had an interesting retirement. A very quick list for you. Principal of Gisborne Girls High School for 6 months, Principal of Pukeha Mōmoa for 6 months, Principal of Wairau College for 6 weeks, Te Reo Māori Teacher at Iona College 2018, Intermediate Department Teacher at Iona College for a month, nearly killed me, it was full time. I thought, gosh, this is real teaching. Reliever at Iona, French teacher last year, it was for the whole year at Sacred Heart Napier 2020, including teaching kids online with the COVID lockdown. Scholarship class in religious education, Isabel Holm was going to try and make it tonight. Lovely girl, actually I was very proud of her. She got a scholarship for Woodford last year, and I was very proud of that, as was she. She's not well, so she couldn't make it tonight. And I have continued this year with that class, and I'm doing a bit of a relieving for St John's College and for Iona this year. If you stay in education long enough, the move into admin is inevitable, but it is my classroom work that still holds the big buzz for me. The faces of the students, the little things they tell you, there are bad memories with two lovely sisters, just as an example, I won't mention schools or even the area, beaten by their father with a shovel. There is poverty, incest, and criminal offending that you try to forget, but there are always moments that touch your heart forever. Did Thomas More give sound advice to Richard Rich? Is teaching the best profession? The answer to me is a resounding yes. A couple of little snippets from last week. A lovely Tongan lad stayed to help me put the chairs up, and he told me he was off home to cook the family meal. He does this 5 nights a week because his mother works till 2 in the morning. He is not feeling sorry for himself. He just wanted to tell someone. I'm old now and I have to look away. I love their energy, their mischievous grins, their desire to do better. The future should include a review of the curriculum with better targets for primary schools, or at least more specific details of what should be completed in each year level, a better structure for boards so schools don't fall apart, a better structure than tomorrow's schools left us with in 1990. It is fine for higher decile schools, all very well for me with a decile 7 score at Sacred Heart College, where I had, talk about overkill, 1 engineer, 3 lawyers and 2 accountants on my board. You know, you would struggle to get that in other schools. And I'm not saying that that's absolutely essential, but it certainly does help. It really does help, having that knowledge. An MOE board appointment, as we had in the old days, could assist this. Some schools need more help in the guidance area, a school social worker, an extra counsellor, a visiting teacher, extra home liaison person. It is 31 years since Tomorrow's Schools. It is time to look at governance, leadership and our curriculum. Probably time to take a fresh look at ERO too and the role of teacher registration. We need better educated teachers. Finland made a master's level degree mandatory for all from early childhood right through to secondary. And that's what I believe fundamentally we should do. We should indeed lift the bar. So look, we'll plunge into a few photos because they're always fun. And I hope that hasn't been too grueling for you. I hope you will be entertained by these photos. They're rather cute. So 48 years it's covered, 73 to 2021. This is just a taste of what it was like at Matauranga. And I have had immense fun in the last 4 days going through my shed, and I just can't believe that I'm the kid that never throws anything out. I think I said this on Facebook, some of you might have caught my comment, but I think I'm going to have to gift my garage to the nation. This is Sally Rose, whose dad was the economist of the Reserve Bank of New Zealand. She was spinning in this photo, and that's Matauranga. I taught music, I had a guitar group, that's her brother Mickey Rose. His brother is on Radio New Zealand. A lot of these kids went on to have interesting careers. My lovely little smiling guitar group. We're looking at 1971 here. That's Murray Bell, the founding teacher. That is my sixth form class, 6B1, 1967 at Hastings Girls High School. And many of those people I've remained in contact to, Nerilee Boardman, Nerilee Wilton as she was at school, Alison Finnegan, Janet Patmore. Oh, sorry, that's the prefect, yeah. We've got 6B1 coming. That's my first ever form class at Makaurau College. They were lovely students. This boy here, you always remember things about kids. This is Peter Doyle. Peter Doyle brought beer to our barbecue at the river, and I tore strips off him. And he said, oh, no, fair enough, miss. No, fair enough. No, I'll take it out and put it in the boot of my car. No problem. It's really funny, the things that you remember about kids. They gave me a beautiful tartan rug, which my cats are still using at Tiawonga. It's on a bed at Tiawonga, and it's lovely, and it stood the test of time. Oh, those kaipoi tartan rugs. Now, there's Bertie McConnell, who is a much-loved teacher at Hastings Boys High School. If you ask students, somebody they remember, many of them will remember Bertie. He took tramps. We all went on tramps in the Ruahenis. And this is him with Miss Miller at the production of Yeoman of the Guard, which is her last Gilbert and Sullivan production, done in 1967. And it was a fantastic night and a great production. I just want to honour both of them because they were extraordinary people. And 6B1, that's what I was calling the prefix from the previous photo. There are 2 deceased members of this class. Many of them I'm still in contact with. This is a very important influence. I think drama is a wonderful thing to be a part of. This is Little Theatre Hastings. And there's Paul Holmes in the leading role, who's Mr. Bliss. And Jane State, who went on to have a career in television, is Mrs. Bliss. There is Gary Nutty. 2 of these people, of course, are deceased, Gary and Paul. There's Paddy Twigg. There's Teresa Woodham, who's back living in Havelock North, who went on to have a career in acting. Eric Frickberg, who went on to have a career in Radio New Zealand. And that's moi. It was a disgusting frock. It was a 1920s flapper frock. And I'm the character Jackie Corrison, who's, you know, sort of the 1920s equivalent of a dumb blonde, except I wasn't blonde. This is 4-5. This is the group that I took around Gisborne and the East Coast, Tairawhiti. That's my second form class. And they were great fun. And some of them I'm in contact with on Facebook now. That's my very first ever prize giving at Makaurau College. And we're just assembled in my classroom waiting to be called into the hall. It's my third one before I went overseas. I won't bore you with all of them. This lad here, though, is an outstanding musician and mandolin and fiddle and saxophone player and plays in groups in Ireland and lives in Ireland now. Lovely Central Hawke's Bay College. This is my form class in the year that I was long-term relieving there. Lovely group. It's not the nightmare English class that I inherited from Mr. Primer. They were called 5K and they were awful. This form were lovely. And that's Puki Kaiho performing at Otuko Pa on the slopes of Lake Rotowaira. And that is Te Rangi Kauia, Tupini Stevenson and Kath Kaske. And they're actually sitting in the sun waiting for their strawberries and cream. Where's Mrs. Foster? Bob did that so nicely. Always the strawberries and cream, and that's what they're about to have. And I took their photograph and sitting in the sun. That's 1983 when I came back from Wellington. This is my next form class when I came back. That's 1979. I'd been appointed as acting head of English because Ray Miller was away in England. Puki Kaiho, very big Māori group. That's the group we took to Rotowaira. And this is very special and is a great credit to Mr. Foster. He allowed us to have a committee and we got this meeting house built. It's called Te Kupinga a Te Huki. This was a wonderful day. Mr. Foster is wearing his gown. This is him here. Tribi Mihaere, Tim Wynne Harris, who was the board chair at the time, and Canon Wehuata is the Anglican minister who's presiding. So the lad who was our chair of the committee, I was just a member of that committee, he is now principal of Kapiti College. His name is Tony Kane, really lovely man, taught English and history. Now, nice to honour some parents. That's Arta Allen, who is from Takapau at the Porphyry, and Mae Thompson, both of them are now deceased. And Helen Huppy, also deceased. I was to meet again later at Hastings Girls High School, where she was a really, really hard-working parent on the PTFA. And here she was helping with Central Hawke's Bay College. Trubi Mihaere, there he is. That's his home marae, and that's his portrait that hangs in the meeting house at Pukeho. Stephen Hepari was our kaia for Puki Kaiho at Central Hawke's Bay College. And Michael Hollings, I went to Rarotonga with Kahununu Ki Wairarapa. That's a mistake. It should be Ngāti Kahununu Ki Te Wairarapa. It was great fun. It was an exhausting 7 days. That's Michael. He is now the CEO of Takura in Wellington. Wellington East Girls College, that's what we all look like. This is moi here in the front row. And Janice Campbell was the principal. That's my English department. Really outstanding people, many of whom I'm still in contact with. While I was at Wellington East Girls College, I produced Not the Royal Wedding because Sarah Ferguson had just married Prince Andrew. And we had an acting principal. Janice had gone into the inspectorate. And because Joyce Wilson had red hair, I said, Joyce, would you mind being, you know, Sarah? And so I married her off to a junior science teacher called David Cole, who looked vaguely like Andrew. And of course, the kids loved it. And we raised money for the police launch. They needed a new police launch, the Lady Elizabeth. So it did have a serious purpose behind it as well. And geography teacher's a very severe woman, very, I can't say that really, but, you know, very correct woman, was the moderator of the Church of Scotland, which I thought was rather good. And Archbishop of Canterbury and so on it goes. But it was a fantastic day, and we flew the bride and groom off. My friend Peter Button, who is also sadly now deceased, came, landed his helicopter and took them away to the airport. I thought it was brilliant. Couldn't do that now. Somebody would go health and safety, and it would kill everything. That's me. My role was Richard Dimbleby for the BBC. I am Starsports, as you do, and I'm drinking champagne, and I'm very glad it's over because that's at the end of the run. Hastings Girls High School, I returned to in 1987, and I just want to say what fabulous taongas exist in our places, you know, that we should uffy and look after. And one is the very beautiful mural, which I sat under as a child, having my education there. It's done by Jeff Fuller. I think Hawke's Bay was very lucky to have an artist of Jeff Fuller's caliber. And if you own a Jeff Fuller painting, you're a very lucky person. This is a fabulous mural. It's a whole lot of famous women, and it's on the back wall of the Assembly Hall. He was the art teacher at the time and did a fantastic job doing that, and good on Miss Miller for having it commissioned and done. 1990 for me was a memorable year because I bought my house at Te Awanga, which I still live in, but 1993 was the women's suffrage year, and we did have a lot of fun. This is Norris Kenwright, who was deputy principal, and Jill Davidson, and there's a parent, Mrs. Routon, who's here in the gig, and I borrowed her horse, and Miss Davidson arrived in the gig, and I rode behind the gig, as is appropriate for an assistant principal, on the extra horse. So it was great fun. So Hastings Girls are a very lively place, and I believe, as I'll tell you in a minute, very innovative place as well. I took an art history. Some of my trippers are here tonight. We had a fabulous time. Sadly, some of the people in the photo are now deceased. I'd like to acknowledge Patsy Burns, who was really helpful on the trip, because Patsy had fluent Italian, and she was really fabulous. It was a wonderful trip to Italy, 3 weeks around Italy. That's the newspaper clipping of the day. See, I really do keep everything. I mean everything. When I say innovation, you'll have heard about the new history curriculum. There's a lot of debate about the history curriculum. And we were doing that before anybody thought of changing it. We had a subject called Liberal Studies. And here is Kieran Stafford from my Liberal Studies class. It was a Year 12 subject. She's standing in a kumara pit out on Bill Shaw's property. It's called Turamoana. And it is named after the pa site, which has been there for at least 1,000 years. 600 of which it was inhabited. It's a fantastic place. So this is what we have to get kids excited about, that we have our own history. We have both Māori and Pākehā history, which is riveting. Really, really interesting. 1988, I had a Wolf Fish Award. I travelled to Derby in Western Australia, visited Mowanjum, which was an Aboriginal community. Again, it was the whole bilingual thing. I'm interested in the maintenance of minority languages. This is 1991, I was a fellow at the Institute of Education, University of London, and I gave a speech. I was very nervous on that day. This was taken before I delivered the speech. A big board table which had about 25 professors sitting around it, and that's the poster for the speech for the day. That's Dublin in 1991. Art history trips, I worked out, sitting there quietly at home counting them up. I did over 20 trips while I was at Hastings Girls. So all sorts of trips. Somewhere for you with an art history, classical studies. I think, Geraldine, you came on a classical studies trip to Wellington with us, which was really great. I'd like to acknowledge Geraldine was very encouraging of me to, you know, apply for the job. I was very nervous about applying for a job in a church school. She was very encouraging. And that's what we need in our life. We need people who are encouraging. And that's what kids need in the classroom too, people who are encouraging. That's my farewell, and I've only put this in here not to be a I, me person, but, you know, wonderful women, Jean Kelt and Miss Miller, now deceased, of course, but they were really, we're so lucky as a community in Hastings to have had those people and have had their commitment. This is Valerie Lawson, who is a Queen's Service Order member, and she did 20 years. Imagine following somebody like that. Must be mad to appoint me. But this is my porphyry at Sacred Heart, Lower Heart. Valerie and I are very good friends. She's in her 80s now. She's a wonderful person, and I learned a lot from her. Mentors, Janice Campbell, very pleased Janice could come. She wasn't very well at the time, but she attended my porphyry, and that's Noel Scott, who is now deceased. He became, of course, a Member of Parliament and an Associate Minister of Education under David Longley. And he was my old principal from Markota College. I'd like to acknowledge Jane Barrett Leonard, who was assistant principal at Markota College. She's a mentor and friend. This is her at Mary Seddon's wake. In about 2001, Mary Seddon and she had taught together at Samuel Marsden Collegiate College. And I also acknowledge the support of Wynne Penman, Hillary College, and the Ministry of Education. Again, great women who support you and help you on your way through life and your career. I just put this in because I just thought it was so funny. These are my new staff. They look quite pleased to see a new person. And they're smiling, which is a good sign. And this is from my porphyry, but the really gas thing was This girl grew up four houses and a block of shops away from me in Stortford Lodge. Her dad was Mr. Gibson, who had an engineering shop in King Street, and there were, I think from memory, two boys. Donald ended up as a teacher at Frimley, and Jenny was a science teacher at my school, a very good one. Her name is Pritchard now, Jenny Pritchard. She lives on the Kapiti Coast. So it was very funny for me. Earl of Wessex came to visit us. We had over 200 students who got Duke of Edinburgh awards every year. And because we had the most in New Zealand, we were accorded a visit by ourselves. Other schools had to group together and they had another meeting at St. Pat's Town. But we got our very own visit from Prince Edward, which was great fun. And it's Valerie and I wearing tokelau and headgear. This lady here is Sister Mary Ignatius, and she is still alive at 102 and as sharp as a tack. She is really sharp and she lives in Auckland. She's a great lady. And Sister Mary Jane de Valois and I. I've done some really funny things in teaching. This is me teaching kids to ride, and these kids are from St. Catalina in Japan, and you can see this girl's got a horse with what we call a hard mouth, not doing the thing with the bit very well, and she's trying to pull the head up. And I'm going, no, that's not going to work for you. It's not going to work. Trust me, it won't work. This is France in 2006, another trip that I ran. Really grateful to my art history class. We wouldn't have got it off the ground if it had have just been Sacred Heart Schools for the principals and the directors of religious studies. We'd never have got it off the ground. We've got lots of Hastings people to come. Some are here tonight. Elizabeth Carr, who's in the photo, and Graham Pilgrim, lovely man who was the vicar at St. Matthew's. So we had a lovely trip around France. That was also a three-week trip. Here they are at Moissac, which is a beautiful town on the pilgrimage trail to Santiago de Compostela. And this is Jordan. I did a trip with my poor, very long-suffering PA. This is Sue Eastwood. She said, "You're going where?" And what? In that case, we're in Petra and Jordan. And I came back and wrote a book. I didn't write the book till 2013. I had some time off to write it. Mustard Seed and Pomegranates. And I'd like to honour also Sister Moira Ross. That was Advent Carols at my place. We always had great fun. Not boring being a nun, I discovered. This is me at a Polish Mass. I just wanted to illustrate the fact that we had a lot of ethnic groups. Wonderful girls, beautiful dancers. Polish dancers are just exquisite. You can see where we got the, you know, mazurka and the polka and so on from, and just fantastic girls, really great. And that's Sacred Heart Feast Day. I'd like to honour Ruth Clitheroe, who's passed away. She had ovarian cancer. She was my assistant principal, and Jenny Buist, Michelle Pagu and Alison Page were my other two DPs that I worked with. While I was there, they're still very much alive. This is only the centre panel of a big long, I've got it home on my wall of the college. We had the whole college photographed. This building here has now been demolished. It was called Mission House, and it's been demolished because of earthquake regulations at vast expense in building a new one. Principal of Gisborne Girls, there they are there. That's their Māori group and choir, and Napier. They've been visiting Napier. There they are there practicing. Gisborne Girls Anzac Day, they have a military academy as part of the school. Principal of Pukeha Mōmoa, that was the day we painted the swimming pool. I thought, God, there's more to being a primary principal than meets the eye. Sorry, I'll go back because they're lovely little faces. Bridget Lowry, I've forgotten this dear little boy's name, but that was Pets Day, and they all bring their pets, God help us. I can remember saying, "Darling, wouldn't it be a good idea to move the fox terriers from the labs?" Principal of Wairoa College, it was Anzac Day. That again is my PA from Makaurau, very kindly came to help me while I was there. I'm wearing my dad's medals because it's Anzac Day. Teacher of Te Reo Māori at Iona College. This is a Māori language assembly that my girls ran, did a really good job with. Teaching at a training college in the South Sudan in 2018. And thought I was going to die. I thought, "You silly old bitch, you've finally bitten off more than you can chew." I was sitting here just out of Juba. This is a big mass that I was attending, and it was 45 degrees with 95% humidity, and I thought, "I'm going to die here, never mind." This is me with my classes in Longo, who's a Dinka, and Opoko, who's an Akoli, who mainly are in Uganda, but there's a few Akoli in South Sudan as well. I met David Cheryl while I was there. A lot of very committed people. How I got to go there was because one of our sisters was the principal of the Teachers College. Andrew Morris, I visited on the way home, as you do, just popped into Dubai to see a student from Hastings Boys High School. Geraldine had been responsible for a very good arrangement where our girls went to have economics at Boys High, because we didn't have an economics teacher, as their boys came into the art, history and classics with me. Andrew got a scholarship, fantastic boy, and he's now a lawyer in Dubai. His parents still live here in Havelock North. Intermediate teacher, I own a college. In my final class, my French class at Sacred Heart Napier last year, this year I'm at Woodford doing the RE, and it's a scholarship class and a little bit of relieving, and that's pretty much me really. Ka taiti, ka rawati, ka haere mai te puti tore, ka rauna, ka rauna, noho te kiwi, kiwi, hei wai, taki taki no pi, no pa, ka rua mai, kai ana te whetu, kai ana te marama, ko te ti ore re I runga rā, heki heki te manu ki tonu tauranga.
I think you've probably picked up that Liesl has the wonderful value of having a photographic memory, and she just never fails to amaze you because she remembers. I've realised why people love history, because they remember it. And the rest of us forget.
And it was bang on 50 minutes, Joyce Barry.
It was fabulous. But wasn't that just the most fantastic talk? I'm going to call on Cynthia Bowes. You're going to thank Liesl tonight, and I'd like to call you forward, Cynthia.
Liesl, where do we start? That was the most amazing presentation, thank you. Your passion, some of the very, very bold decisions that you've made over the years, just blew me away really, and the social commentary that went with it as well was incredibly interesting. Fascinated by your retirement.
It's been a bit busy really.
As someone who was struggling to retire myself, you know, I think your idea of retirement seems just right to me. So thank you so much. This is the second time that you've spoken to us here. The third, is it? But look, the effort that you put into these presentations and the way that you enthrall us and entertain us is second to none. So on behalf of all of us, I'd just like to thank you sincerely. You've obviously spent a lot of time going through your garage and putting the presentation together. And it's absolutely much appreciated.
Yes, the mice have had a hurry along.
You're joining us.
Thanks, Cynthia. It's wonderful. Was there any questions?
If you were in government at the moment and you were asked for some recommendations, what would that be?
Well, I think, you know, we do have to do something about our... I think some very good things have been done. Like, you can't learn if you're hungry. And there are kids in our schools that are hungry, and I think the lunches in schools has been wonderful. So some really good things are being done, but much more has to be done that really isn't even educational, it's social. It's to uplift people and help people. You know, that whole area of getting kids to school, making sure that there's a backup, but, you know, we need those sorts of support mechanisms, especially in the cities. You know, where there are people struggling. Well, I shouldn't say that, because an area that troubles me deeply is Northland. Northland is just a mess. It's awash with methamphetamine, and the schools are really struggling. One of our colleagues who sat on the Teachers Council, and Geraldine served on it for much longer than I did, but, you know, colleagues who served with that were just burnt out. These are lovely principals from secondary schools in Northland. So really bad social problems. We've got to somehow get our head around addressing those, for a better society, for a better New Zealand. And it's not social engineering, it's just simply what you do if you consider your country a family. You don't want to have people who fall by the wayside.
It's quite a sobering note to finish on, isn't it? Because it's quite right. Mm-hmm. And it is worldwide to some extent too, I mean.
And actually,
yeah.
I'm a tough old bit. I don't think I'm into psychobabble. I've never been into psychobabble. I'm not a psychobabble girl. But I do care about kids, and I do want those kids who are struggling to have help and be uplifted. It's all about service, loyalty to family.
We didn't hear any detail about your classes, but I just wonder if you saw people at the back of the class talking when you were trying to teach them something, what you did. Because I taught at Lindisfarne in 1964, my only year as a teacher, but when I saw people distracted by something else, or I didn't want to stop the lesson on the blackboard, so I just fired choke at them. And I was quite accurate.
You're not allowed to do that now. Health and safety.
Well, a few guys have told me, I've run into them in the last 2 or 3 years, they've told me they haven't forgotten. How do you deal with people at the back of the class who are distracted?
Actually, it is quite easy, because if you remember that children actually want order, and they want routine in their lives. And mothers who have babies know that. If you bring up a baby with a sensible routine, which sadly has gone down the river for a lot of our young mums, but if you do that, you know, it's just half the battle won. I don't think anybody would have talked to my classes with that. I think I got that from my dad. You know, he was a military man, and I don't think there's anything wrong with a little bit of fear. But you don't dare say that anymore, because we're all so bloody PC now, which is such a shame. I think good on you for the talk. I never used talk, but I did have some very good verbals. So I'm quite good with my tongue.
That's fantastic. Thanks again. That was just wonderful, Lisa. Just wonderful.